The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's totally terrific, totally transforming, and totally triumphant Tuesday as we unite through the Father, through the Son, and through the Holy Spirit, all for the glory of God. First up, annoying Jewish guy with radio show telling you to be more annoying Christian when it comes to prayer. Is that kosher? You bet. Next, the second edition of Reading and Rambling out of Galatians 1. On your mark, get ready, let's set. Oh, I did that wrong. And then finally, the porridge was too hot, the porridge was too cold, and then the porridge was just right. That's the porridge we should want too.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now you can reach out to us a couple of different ways. You can call us 972-445-0770. If you call that phone number, 972-445-0770, you won't win a prize, but you can have that opportunity to say hi to Terrific T. Plus, you can also get on the show and share what it is you want to share or answer questions you might want to answer, anything you want. You can even share a recipe. That's fine. You got a good recipe for cornflakes? Let me know. Not a problem. All right. Also, you can text a recipe for cornflakes. Come on. That's good. 214-210-8483. If you text in, nothing bad will happen, and nobody will make fun of you. 214-210-8483. You can do that for praise reports, prayer requests. You can do that for pop questions. You can do that for comments. Anything, as long as you keep it classy. If you want to share something, if something great happened to you and you just want to say, hey, I just want to take a minute just to acknowledge the Lord and share that, I want you to be able to do that. As we move the show forward, I think it's an important element within the framework of Scripture for all of us to recognize that we share with one another in our victories. Keep that in mind. That's a very powerful tool for other brothers and sisters to hear the great things that God is doing. In the meantime, we will open this up with a simple trivia question. Simple. Get ready. Simple. Easy. What is the name of the disciple who was instructed to touch the nail prints in Jesus' hands after his resurrection? What was the name of the disciple who was instructed to touch the nail prints in Jesus' hands after the resurrection? Keep in mind, you can talk about pretty much anything, and the reason is pretty simple. It's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Got a lot to cover, a lot of different things we want to do, and I want to give the right off the bat the acknowledgement for our DNA, because we need to be functioning in DNA. Just found out some very interesting news that you're all going to find out in the next 48 hours, but I can't tell you. So in the meantime, let's have that DNA functioning. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
The N stands for never be ashamed of Jesus or his word. And the A stands for always be ready
to serve.
That's our DNA, how we should function as Christians on a regular day-by-day basis. Let me once more give you the trivia question so you know what's going on. What is the name of the disciple who was instructed to touch the nail prints in Jesus' hands after the resurrection? If you know the answer, you can call in as soon as I remember the number. What is our number? 972-445-0770. T is over in the booth there. She's doing numbers by hand. That was pretty
trying
good.
To help.
She's pretty good. Yeah, that was a good job. You were like, She was just doing that. That was a pretty good job there.
Trying to speak slang language over here.
That, I'm catching it, too. She was just, you know, hands a flailing about. Here we go. It's over here, Dave. And pretty soon they're going to have a sign. I'm going to have to go, it's, and then just read it. Okay, let's get ready for the first thing I want to tell you. Okay? I've got somebody calling in, so I'm not even going to get to that yet. The reason that we do the trivia, by the way, just keep you mindful, is to keep us mindful of the scripture, to separate those words that the Lord spoke into our lives so they can have impact and transformation in our lives. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary Collier.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
All right. Now you're ready for this one. This is a kind of a classic section. Classic teaching. Here's the thing. The thing is, this poor person that you're about to talk about, terrible rap. Terrible rap. He's got just a terrible reputation amongst other people. I'm not sure why. What is the name of the disciple who was instructed to touch the nail prints in Jesus' hands after his resurrection?
I believe it's Thomas.
That is correct. You are right. And the reason that I say that he got a kind of a bad rap is if he wasn't there when Jesus kind of showed up that first time, right? And so he didn't see it. It doesn't seem like
it. No, he was a doubting Thomas.
Yeah, he was a doubting Thomas. He'd be like, well, I wasn't there. It's like, no. Yeah, I think I might have thought that, though, at the moment. Well, I wasn't there. I didn't see him. But then that stays with him for a really long time. So now we all know him as doubting Thomas. Poor guy. I mean, that's a bummer. But nonetheless, he got it straight. And you had answered that exactly correctly. And it's amazing that Jesus said that we're blessed because we believe in him without seeing, without touching. That gives us just that much more of a blessing.
Yes.
Excellent. Excellent job. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you.
All right. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Right. There we go. That's how you get it rolling. We get it going. That's all the music I know. I'm not musical. Okay, here you go. You got a Jewish Christian guy telling you something that you probably haven't heard a lot about, but it's very applicable. Isaiah chapter 62, verses 6 through 7. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night, they will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves, and give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Now, you've heard me talk and give a little bit of Yiddish slang. For those that have listened to the show, I mean, we're round in the corner on 2 years, or I'm round in the corner on 5.5 years from San Diego. We're going to be expanding the show. We're going to be doing things that we think are going to be fun. We hope so. Here is something you should understand about Scripture that God tries to communicate to us and uses Luke 18 to drive this point home. In verse 7, it says, and give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. It's almost as though the Lord, maybe exactly as though the Lord is saying, take no rest and give God no rest about this petition about establishing Jerusalem as a praise on the earth. There's a few people that see this as eschatological. What that means is they see this as the millennium being set up and Jesus reigning from Jerusalem. Other people see this as more of a eternal reign. I'm not sure that either one of those is a bad thing to pursue or to think through. I think the issue is not the result as much as the action, and the action is give God no rest until you have seen the very petition come to pass. And you might think, well, how does that apply to the New Testament? How does that apply to this century? That was Isaiah talking to his audience. How does it factor into us? Well, in Luke chapter 18, when Jesus was asked about how to pray, he used the illustration of the persistent widow. And in that word, persistent, comes from the Greek word to annoy. And there is a permission slip granted to believers to be somewhat, not disrespectfully, but somewhat annoying in petition seeking the Lord. It's as though the Lord is saying, come after me, follow after me, hunger after me, knock on the door, seek, pursue, make it an issue. Because in all of those things, when we do that, we engage with God in a tighter and better format. We are more focused on him. We are more focused on his kingdom. We are more committed to seeing the things of God manifest in our lives. And there's nothing more important than our engagement with God. When we're all said and done on this earth, and we got the new heavens and the new earth, keep in mind what the purpose of the creation of man was in the beginning: to bring glory to God and to fellowship with God. Well, guess what? We're going to spend a lot of time with God in eternity. And what he's telling you and I now is push, pursue, don't quit, don't give up, keep pushing, keep going. And so you'll have people, and I got to say this, so D's like, okay, Dave, calm down. Here, listen, people will get on the air and they'll say,
you know, the definition of insanity is when people do the same thing over and over again and expect different results.
First of all, that is not the definition, clinical or otherwise, of insanity. It's doing bad behavior over and over again and thinking that you will get different results. Otherwise, never tell anybody to exercise, diet, quit smoking, quit drinking, or anything else. It's just like, so people are like, come on, folks, we're smarter than that. So the definition of insanity is not trying something over and over and over and over again. It's doing bad behavior over and over and over and over again and expecting some kind of different result. That's what's wrong. That's a bad thing. In our case, the persistency of prayer and the communion and the commitment to fire in and to get into the kingdom and to get before the Lord and to knock, knock, knock. Remember, it's those who ask that receive, those that knock that have the door open. Well, when you keep knocking on a door, I can promise you the person on the other side of that door has heard enough knocking and they open the door. That's the attitude of prayer that we're supposed to engage with. Give him no rest until he does the very petition before you. Now, if he says no, he says no. But until he says no, keep knocking. Don't quit praying. Don't quit pursuing. God loves to be pursued. Because you're his kids. He likes hanging out with his kids. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been my privilege in my past. I've been a Christian for a short time, only about 40 years. But when I was in my first year, I had a chance to meet James Robeson, who had a chance to pray for my brother and myself. Very helpful at a very needful time as we were fighting our way out of a Christian cult. And he prayed for clarity. And it was just a pastor's gathering in Phoenix, Arizona. And I have the privilege again of interviewing one of what I consider to be one of the great men of God who are still with us on this planet. And I just want to give a whole hearty welcome and open door and open heart to James Robeson. Thank you, sir, for being a part of our show and a part of our audience.
Well, David, it's a pleasure to join with you, and I'm grateful that praying together was meaningful to you, a very important point in your life. So just joy to be with you and your listeners. Now, David, can I just download what I believe is the heart of our Heavenly Father to your listeners for a few minutes?
Yes, please, by all means.
When I spoke to the leaders before the election, and I talked about the need, this is in Washington, there were nearly 2,000 pastors and church leaders there. And I said, I'm telling you, there are people right now who are being captivated by the Jesus they see in some of our lives. And I said, listen to me. We have a fatherless nation, desperately in need of a father. If we, as believers, as Christians, who have the perfect father, if we would show people clearly what the family of the perfect father looks like, I believe the fatherless would run to the father and the father's house. And I believe that. I said that to the President of the United States. I said, sir, your children say you're a good father. Eric Trump happened to be sitting by me when I first said that. Eric said, he's a great father. I said, well, he may be, but that doesn't mean he's flawless. I do believe that we need a father, and I believe we can pray and God can raise up people that have a father's heart. And so I began to emphasize the church revealing what the father's like. Now, listen to me. We as believers comprise the body of Christ, the body of born-again, baptized into Christ believers who are born from above. We have a perfect heavenly Father who reveals his will. He's not willing that any should perish. He said, you call on me, and I'll heal your land. Now, listen to me. Christian believers, we're not looking for a champion. We've got one. He's the only one that rides the white horse. We're not looking for a king. We have a king. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that's Jesus. He holds kings in his hand. Our king, our shepherd, our father said, come to me as my family, and you ask me to heal your land in desperate need of healing. You come in humility. You come knowing I'm the only one that can heal, and I can use imperfect vessels to accomplish my perfect will. I always have, I always will.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Oh my goodness, Chris, I love James Robeson. He's just such a great guy. Let's see. Oh, we're going to talk about Texas Air King and Coach. They're the ones that are setting up, they're sponsoring this trivia, and we love that because that helps us pay the bills because I don't have that much money. And so that's how we do it. And so first we're going to play that, and then I'm going to say something about Coach, and then I'm going to give you the trivia question. So let's play the piece for Coach.
Up next is Bible Trivia, sponsored by Texas Air King, the coolest company in Texas. Make sure your home is comfortable in any weather and contact the AC Coach today. Call or visit him online at TexasAirKing.com.
Okay, now don't forget that Coach is doing this thing. So if you need like some kind of system, they do like like let's say you need a whole system. It's like that's a ton of money, right? But they do this breakdown where you can pay $80 a month. No, it's not credit. It's literally an installment, and you pay it off. And the whole premise there that Coach had mentioned to me is that people save that much money per month, and then they end up getting a new system out of it. I think that's cool. You got to talk to them. I don't know it the way Coach knows it. That's why we want you to get a hold of him. Plus, and you can't say this is a bad thing, it's a cool thing. Anybody that gets a unit through our show, there's a $500 gift card that they will give to any nonprofit Christian charity that they'll knock off on top of everything else. Just like, how cool is that? So you want to get in touch with Coach at Texas Air King. That's the way to do it. You know what we got to get? We got to get the phone number for Texas Air King so that we can say what that phone number is. We just got to do that eventually. All right. So many people were like, okay, great. What's the trivia question? Well, I'm glad you asked me that. The Bible character, not character, let's rephrase that. The Bible person, the Bible individual, the actual person who put out a fleece to test God, what's the name? What's the name? You know the answer. You can call in or you can text in. Don't forget our text, 214-210-8483. Who put the fleece out for the Lord? In the meantime, let's not forget about HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, now I don't want to dwell on this for a very long time. We made a decision that we were going to go forward from 60 to 90 minutes. And you know what happens as soon as you make a statement or a position of faith? Bam-o. Bam-o. We got hit spiritually. We got hit financially in every which way we can. But we're going to do our best to move forward. Why? What else are you going to do? You got to go forward. You're going backwards. That's no fun. You got to go forward, you know what I'm saying? So don't forget us. If you have the opportunity to give, we want you to take care of home base first, your church first. And if there's offering money that you have available, please consider us as one of the ministries that you give to. It is 100%. It's a nonprofit, 100% deductible, which at the end of the year you get, you know, a receipt. That's what you get. Okay, somebody calling in on the trivia question, so I'll be leaning over. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Mary.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good today.
I'm glad to hear that. It's good, nice to hear your voice.
Well, thank you. It's good to listen to the program. I haven't been listening quite as much recently.
That's okay. We're here for you when you want to listen. That's the key. So that's
wait a
big
minute,
thing.
What's the key?
Yeah. In other words, we're always here for you when you want to listen. So you don't always have to listen, but if you want to listen, we're here for you. Okay. Who's the Bible person that put that fleece out to test the Lord?
Gideon.
That is correct. You are right as rain again. Good job. Excellent job. That's right. Gideon did it twice, right? He did it once and then he did it again. What's really funny?
Yes, that's right. One time if it was all wet,
yep.
And the other time he wanted it to be all dry and all the ground around the fleece was supposed to be wet. Yeah.
Correct.
He just wanted to make sure that...
That's right.
That's what the Lord wanted him to do. You know, that's just really funny.
Yep. He needed a little bit of encouragement, so God gave him a little bit of a break. Unfortunately, when I do that and I ask the Lord for something, even if he gives it to me, I tend to not believe. I'm just so bad.
Oh.
I'm like, I need more. I need more. Anyway, good job on that. Excellent.
Oh, you know what? I left you a message the last week, but what day was it? Friday, I think it was. I turned on and you were giving a sermon.
Oh, yeah.
Out of I can't think of the book. It was Solomon's when he said everything is useless.
Right. That was on Solomon in Ecclesiastes. Right. That's right.
Ecclesiastes.
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't think of the book. Well, anyway, I really enjoyed it. It was good.
Thank you so much.
Anyway,
I appreciate
telling
that.
You that. Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Mary. It's very kind of you to say. Thank you.
Oh, well, it's the truth. I really did enjoy it. Okay.
Okay. Well, God bless you.
Okay. Well, I'll let you go. And thank you. Bye bye.
Right. Take care, Mary. Bye bye.
Okay.
She's so sweet. She's so nice. I'm not nice like her. Just going to say that right now. You guys are listening. It's like, nope, I'm not nice like her. Sorry. She's so nice. It's like, I bet she makes some really good chocolate chip cookies. I just have that feeling. I just, you know. All right. Ready? Ready for, what is it, read and ramble? Okay, here we go. Read and ramble.
Well, I'm ramming.
Just so funny. You guys, I mean, you just don't understand. It just brings me back when I saw him when I was the eighth row center in Pine Knob so many years ago. I mean, I must have been 13 or something. I mean, just long, long, long time ago. All right, we are doing Galatians. So for those that don't understand what this is all about, I read and then I ramble. So what does that mean? So there are people that teach expository. We teach expository on Thursdays. There are people that teach just topical. There are people that teach a combination. Typically, that's what it is. When Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount, it was not expository. It was all topical. There's no way to say it any other way. And most of the New Testament teaching is topical, but there's so much depth in the word that going expository, word by word, line by line, is a great approach to understanding Scripture. So part of that also just has to do with reading Scripture. I think people forget the settings that took place when these letters that Paul wrote or that James wrote or that Peter wrote, what was going on at the time. These are letters that went to churches, and the people would take the letters and they would, you know, all gather around and they would read it. And they would read the letter, and if you're unfamiliar with that process, they would read the letter, and then if there was some kind of major or significant point, they would like, yes, amen, that's great, you know, that kind of thing. So we're doing a little bit of that, just a little bit of that, in Read and Ramble. We're picking it up for Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Here's what Paul said. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of God for, or by the grace of Christ, for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, he is to be accursed. So Paul is talking to the church, the people at Galatia, and he's you know, the Galatian people, and he's saying to them, and these are believers. These are not unbelievers. These are believers. And he's like, I am amazed that you are bailing, that you are deserting, that you are abandoning the Lord who saved you by grace, the grace of Christ, for a different gospel. And then he goes on to say this, and this is an important part of this. He says, it's not really a different gospel. And the reason for that is there's only one actual gospel, but that these are people that distort the gospel of Christ. Now, that's a key word, distort. For those that probably don't know metastrepho, metastrepho is to change, to alter, to distort. Some of the words that we get from it would be metaphysical, metachange, metamorphosis, that kind of mentality. And what it means is to change it, to distort it, watch this, to corrupt it or to change its direction. And so what takes place is Paul is concerned that people will have a gospel that's true, that Jesus Christ died on the cross and that he was buried and 3 days later he rose again, okay? That's the gospel. And those that believe and accept and acknowledge, those people are saved. He's concerned that this is being corrupted or perverted into something else. When that gospel is the same gospel that saves you, and it's the same gospel that keeps you. Do you get that? Now they got about 30 seconds, right? So here's the bottom line. The bottom line is that gospel that you heard, that you received, do not desert the simplicity of that gospel or the power of that gospel or let it be perverted. You aren't saved by the gospel, and now that you're saved, you got to just do a whole bunch better. You are saved and kept by that exact same gospel truth. It does not change. It has not changed. It will never distort. It is eternal. Okay? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. All of mankind, destroying everyone
and everything we find. Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com.
That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
The deterioration of the ecosystem, or creation itself, is definitely the result of man. You say, well, how can you say that? Well, Romans chapter 8, verse 19 through 21. I just read the scriptures. I don't need anything else. The Bible says this: the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Creation itself is longing for the redemption that comes through Jesus Christ. And until that takes place, it is on a collision course down. The result of the ecosystem, or creation itself, crashing is a result of man's sin in the garden. So when they say, oh, well, it's not man-made, oh, yes, it is. Of course it's man-made. It's because we messed up in the garden. But I wasn't with Adam and Eve. You were in the person of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to use it, you were in the life-giving force of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to really say it, you were in the loins of Adam and Eve. You were there, too. They stuck their fist up to God and said, nope. And God went, okie dokie, here's the result.
The David Spoon Experience.
Thanks for listening to David Spoon on KAAM. Bible trivia is sponsored by Texas Air King, the coolest company in Texas. Trust the AC coach to take care of your heating and cooling needs. Call or visit him online today at TexasAirKing.com.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Okie dokie. Probably God didn't actually say to Adam and Eve, okie dokie, even though that clip says that. Probably, you know what I'm saying, probably didn't use that particular phrasing. Maybe. I don't know. I was there. I don't know. Could be. All right. Let's get our next trivia question. People are like, why am I listening to this? That's a good question. You'll have to ask the Lord. I cannot help you with that. Who does the Bible say holds the keys of hell and death? Who holds the keys of hell and death? If you think you know that answer, you're welcome to reach out to us. You can either text in or you can call in. In the meantime, let's not forget about our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, so that's for our website so that we can continue the action and keep things going. We also have, I think in the next segment, we're going to do our word, our Hebrew word. In this segment, though, we are going to pick up on a little history. Let's hit down on the history.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
We just keep things moving here. I just want you to know that we're not telling you, by the way, when we make a reference to living in the past, we don't really want you to live in the past. This is just how we set history up, okay? Don't live in the past. That's just a bad thing. This is just me covering that history. But before we get there, somebody has called in and wants to give an answer on the trivia, so I don't want to ruin their time or their opportunity to share, because it's a solid question. Here we go. Get ready. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David.
Hi, Mary.
This is Mary.
I know. Yes. I can tell your voice.
Go ahead. I apologize.
No problem. All right. You got to give us the answer. Who does the Bible say holds the keys of hell and death?
Well, Almighty God.
The Almighty God through Jesus Christ. Jesus holds the keys to hell and death. I hold the keys, he said. Yeah. Remember that in Revelation?
Yeah.
Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. Good job. Good job, Mary. I appreciate it. Excellent work.
Oh, I think it's other places too, isn't it?
What's that?
I think it might be in other places as well.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, that the Revelation 1:18 is the big one where Jesus goes, I hold the keys of death and hell. It's like, that's right. He's okay. In charge. He's the man.
All righty.
Excellent.
Thank you for telling me.
You
it's
got
1:18. All righty.
God bless you.
Thank you. Lord bless you, too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Mary, filling in the gap for people today. Good job, Mary, stepping up to the plate. All right, so on the history, we've already done the music, so now I'm just going to give you some of the history, right? Okay? For those that don't know, it's Eat a Red Apple Day.
It's my favorite apple.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I like, but do you like the pie, the apple pie with like the green type of apples, or do you like them with red, or does it matter?
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. It's not really a preference. Is it bad? I don't like actual like homemade apple pie, but I like the fast food ones.
No, that's not bad.
Okay.
I mean, it depends on what it is. People get mad at me when I say I like the McRib sandwich all the time. They're like, my son's making me homemade ribs later this week. It's like, that's not a sandwich of the McRib. It's like, it is when you were 17. That's all I got. It's also National Pie Day, which is why I brought up the apple stuff.
Uh-huh.
See, it works no matter what. It is National World Trick Shot Day, which would have to technically do with basketball, but it could also be pool. You could also be a national trick shot. I know how to do that 4-in-1 shot, the Willie Moscone 4-in-1. My grandpa taught me. So there's things that do live on. It does happen. And then for those that are into comic books, not the current stuff, but the past stuff that was fun and just more joyful, technically it's Clark Kent's birthday. It's important to know. The soft drink Dr. Pepper was served for the first time on this day in 1885. And for those that do not know, the Dr. Pepper plant is like half a mile from us. Right down the road. That's where you see all those Dr. Pepper trucks. Did you know that?
Wow, I did not know
that. Ah, 135 years ago. Is that right? Yeah, 135 years ago. Wow. Ford Motor Company in 1913 on this day introduced the first moving assembly line. And then this is the last thing. And I just thought it was funny and nobody get offended. I think stuff like this is just the best. So, 1992, the police rushed to a video store and drew a weapon on an armed gunman. Fortunately for them, the gunman turned out to be a cardboard cutout of Denzel Washington promoting a movie. It's like, how funny is that? I don't have a sound for that, but that's a good one. It's just like, you know, they would say. Oh, poor Blockbuster. Anyway, let's get into, have we covered everything? Yeah, sure. Okay, here we go. Exodus 36, 6 through 7. Exodus 36, 6 through 7. This is a very important American message more than anything else. Exodus 36, 6 through 7. After Moses gave an order, they sent a proclamation throughout the camp. Let no man or woman make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary. So the people stopped. The materials were sufficient for them to do all the work. There was more than enough. There was more than enough. You say, well, Dave, why would you say that's an American element? Because in our society, in some of our training, we never, ever teach it's enough. We always teach more. More. And it's like the most amazing thing. There was enough surplus to get the work done. Okay. They didn't need excessive surplus to accomplish the things of God. And the Lord says, that's enough. Now, I don't know if you've been around for a while or not. Maybe you have, but you probably are aware that at one point our government felt that there was a need to have excessive surplus, so they started charging $300 a hammer and $500 a toilet seat so they'd have extra money. It's like, really? That doesn't seem. We're the only country where if you get a 10% increase in spending, if you don't get that again on top of what you already got, then it's a cut. It's like, what are you talking about? We have much. We have many. This country is so wealthy. It's like, everybody, take a deep breath. And you think, oh, we're not that. We're not that. There's a lot of people that are living in poverty. In America, poverty means you only have one big screen TV, two computers, and two cell phones. Poverty is sleeping on dirt with a hut over your head with no food or running water. That's poverty. There's not as much of that here as there is in other countries. I'm not saying it doesn't exist here. I'm just saying don't make those comparisons. Billy Graham was right. If you live in America, you are the rich man. I mean, that's just what it's like. He's more right than not. But the reason I bring that up is this, Proverbs 37 through 9. Two things I ask of you. Don't deny them to me before I die. Keep falsehood and deceitful words far from me, and give me neither poverty nor wealth. Feed me with the food I need. Otherwise, I might have too much and deny you, saying, who is the Lord? Or I might have nothing and steal, profaning the name of the Lord. So in the Proverbs, and just connecting this to Exodus 36, 6 or 7, when there's enough, I mean, Moses said, that's enough. Stop. We got plenty. And in our lives, when we have enough, it's like, that's enough. It's like, well, I want to accumulate more. I want to have more. Well, I want to have more. Do you have enough to do the things God has created you to do, encouraged you to do, directed you to do, led you to do? Well, then take a break. I mean, I'm just trying to say, you know, for me, you know, there's this mindset, and there's a little bit of paraphrasing when I'm saying this, but look, you don't want to be poor where you're mad at God, or rich that you forget God. You don't want to be either one of those. We need to be mindful of God. Not too little to curse, not too much to forget. We want to be aware that the Lord knows how to provide for us. He made these promises to us. I was doing a study in Matthew chapter 6 about those that are pursuing the kingdom of God. And they pursue the kingdom of God, and the Lord makes a commitment for provision. Some people have interpreted that commitment as a Ferrari. It's not a Ferrari. The Lord makes a commitment to make sure that you're taken care of. Stop. He doesn't make a commitment to say you get to have a penthouse apartment in Manhattan. He makes a commitment to take care of you. And if we have too much, it's easy to start thinking, what, pridefully, right?
Oh, I'm so great. I have so much money. Look at me.
I don't know if you know this, but sometimes people with money are not the nicest people. Have you noticed? Sometimes people that know they have a lot of money kind of tend to let you know they have a lot of money. It's like, really? The best comeback in the world is this. Your dad is the richest dude ever. Your heavenly father. He's the richest guy ever. He owns universes. Yay! It's like, that's how you think of it. Not too little that you're like always stressing, right? But not too much where you have to have so much of an abundance that you need multiple accounts to do it. And why I'm saying that is because I think we get so focused on what we have that we forget that at that moment where the Lord goes and your time is up, none of that money's going to matter. You're not taking it with you. You're not bringing it into heaven. See what I'm saying? So not too little so as to be stressed or to curse or to steal or anything like that. Not too much to just forget or to be foolish. Our goal here is to be good stewards of that which the Lord has set before us. Right? Right. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Can I blow your mind? You know, I did this with you before, but on a different text. I love this text. You will love this text because you and I are sci-fi people. You'll love this. I mean, this is one of those, oh, goodness gracious, that's so good. 1 Samuel 23:10 through 12. 1 Samuel 23, 10 through 12. Okay. 1 Samuel 23, 10 through 12 says this. Then David said, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has heard for certain that Saul is seeking to come to destroy the city on my account. Will the men of Keilah surrender me into his hand? Will Saul come down just as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then David said, will the men surrender me and my men to the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will surrender you. I love this portion because people, we think in these boxes and we force God into our theology and say he must conform here, which is just insanity by itself. Here's a situation where David hears that Saul is coming down to try and get him, and he's asking, will the people of the city surrender me? I've helped them. I've defended them. I've given them some deliverance. Is Saul going to come in and change their mind, and they're going to give me up? And the Lord says, yeah, that's going to happen. Now, if you read the rest of the passage in 1 Samuel 23, David leaves. So he is not surrendered to Saul by the men of the city. But what I want you to catch is this. God knew what the outcome was going to be if David stayed, and what the outcome was going to be if David left. In other words, God knew the alternate universe or the alternate pathway that was taking place. We've talked about this before. It's one of those cool thoughts where we don't think of it in these terms. But remember, David says to God, hey, are they going to give me up? And the Lord's like, yeah, they're going to give you up. That's what's going to happen. So you need to make a decision and go a different direction so we can have a different outcome. And it's like God knew what the outcome was if they gave him up, and God knew what the outcome was if he left. God knew what it would be if he went left or right, if we went west, east, north, or south. God knew what the outcome was going to be no matter what, because God is omniscient. He knows all things, which means he knows every alternate route.
If Jesus.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Couple things to make sure we are all on board with. We do have a trivia question. I like that omniscient little teaching right there, because people do not realize the Lord says, if you do this, this will happen. If you do this, this will happen. He knows what's going to happen one or another. And that's a big important element in our walk, is to grasp that God knows what we go through. I woke up this morning and had another one of my little fiery trials. I'm not going to get into it right now, but let's just say my attitude was less than stellar. I will give you that one. And the Lord knew what was going to happen. Then I went into my devotions. And what do? Half of your devotions, you're like going, I'm sorry. Because it's like I'm trying to control it all. It's like, oh, Lord. But he's patient. Because if he wasn't patient, none of us would be here. Keep that in mind. That's a good thing to remember. Let's get into the very next trivia question. Here's a classic, Jonah. Most people know Jonah, not the fairy tale of Jonah. By the way, Jonah is mentioned in a couple of different portions of Scripture, in not just in Jeremiah, book of Jeremiah, he's mentioned, but also in Jesus' teaching, not a fictional, but a biblical character, historical character. Jonah purchased his ticket, his boat ticket, to what city in trying to get away from God? What city did he try to go to? If you know that answer, don't hesitate to text in, or we got people calling in. We like that too. Either way, that's going to work for us. So what city do we have Jonah checking out, thinking he could escape? Which I think is a classic, because I think many of us think that we can escape if we just alter or do this or change this. And it's quite like the Lord saying, no, you're not. I know where you are. Okay, and there's this sense where you might want to hide, but that's not really a practical petition to exist in the Lord. The Lord knows everything. He's omniscient. He knows everything there is to know. He knows when you're feeling that pressure of wanting to jet and wanting to escape, but he also knows what you need to keep you back on track and to get your mind and your heart right. Right? Right? Okay. Right? Right. All right. Okay. I think that the person's calling in for the video. Yes? Okay. Okay. Gotcha. All right. Here we go. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Al. How are you doing?
I'm doing David. Fantastic, brother. How are you?
I'm good. I had to jump in there quick with these other callers calling in so quick.
It's kind of fun if you think about it. It's great when people call in. That's why we do the texting too. You know, so people are like, I know the answer. I know the answer. All right, my friend. So we had our good friend Jonah, who regardless of what people say, there's a lot of people that live like Jonah trying to kind of bail on the situation. Where was he going? Where did he go to get a ticket? Where was he trying to escape to?
I believe he was trying to escape to Joppa.
He went to Joppa and said that. So that's
Nineveh.
Right. And then, but eventually, before he went to Nineveh, he was trying to sail for Tarshish because he was trying to escape.
Yes,
and then what happened
is that
the Lord said, hold on, I got a surprise. I got a fish dinner for you. Oh, wait, actually, you're the dinner for the fish. Let's change that. So that's it. But that's right. The Joppa part's 100% right. He thought, I go here, I'm going to get a ticket. It's like going to L.A. and then say, I'm going to get a bus ticket to Nevada. And then while you're in route to Nevada, you're going to Las Vegas, a storm picks you up and puts you somewhere else. You're like, what happened?
Hey, David, do you mind if I ask you a question?
Sure,
about
no,
this?
Absolutely. Please go ahead.
So I've heard teachings where pastors have said he actually died, and the fish swallowed him, and he was brought back to life when the fish threw him up on the shore.
Yeah, I think I don't know if I can pull that out of the scripture. I don't know that these are the kind of things that are not. They're not to die for, but the reason they say that is because he was in the belly of the fish, like Jesus was in the ground, and so the comparison associates that. Plus, this isn't the Disney theory, which is the problem, because they think that there's, you know, he's sitting on a chair and there's a fireplace in there and he's knitting or he's doing something. It's like this is a guy that is, he couldn't move an inch and the seaweed was wrapped around him. Reason that I'm not convinced of that, let me give some clarification, because it's not that that's a bad thought, but the reason is I think this was a more of a stubborn issue, because after the third day is when he cried out to the Lord, because in I think it's chapter 2 where he says then he prayed, which is like, mm-hmm. You know, if you think about it, it's almost like he waited. It says like in Jonah 2:1, from inside the fish, he prayed to the Lord and said, in my distress, I called out. Okay. And it's almost as though he delayed. And I think I've mentioned this before, that if I was going inside the fish, I'd been praying right then and there, not after.
Exactly.
I was inside the fish. I mean, once my first leg was in, it would be like, this is like, you know, I remember the movie Jaws. This does not excite me, right? But I don't think that the pastors who teach that's a wrong element. I think the connection is to the death of Christ, and one can understand it. It could be. The only thing that we get the difference in between the Old Testament and New Testament, everything, is Jesus was the only person to resurrect and never die again. And that's that's that biggest distinction. So excellent question, by the way. Good job on that.
Oh, I appreciate that.
No, very, very good. I appreciate you asking. You're always welcome to ask. I appreciate your petitions, your prayers, and your intercession. I tell Al all my prayer stuff. He's going to pray for me. Pray for me. Okay? All right? All right.
My pleasure.
All right.
I appreciate it.
All right. God bless
you,
bro. All right. Bye-bye. Excellent job. And it's funny because you think about these things, and we're probably not getting to this last teaching and do the same way, but you think about these things. It's like these things, it's like, well, you know, did this happen? Did this happen? One of the classes I'm in now that I'm finishing is New Testament Greek exegesis. And so you get into, could this have been here? Could this have, you know, come about this way? Could this have had a cultural bearing? And most of the time, the answer is more simple than not. But there's nothing wrong with investigating. And so I would encourage everybody, if you've never gone to like a, you know, some of the free sites are like Bible Hub and Bible Study Blue or Blue Study Bible, I think it is. And then there's a couple other ones. If you've never gone to a site where they have the Greek for free and you get to explore the word, you should. It's good. It's fun. It's encouraging. You can get lost up in it a little bit. And my biggest concern about getting deep into this some of the stuff is you miss the main core. And that's the one thing you don't want to do. So if you can retain, or you will retain, the main message, then dig deeper. See what's there. That's the fun of really pursuing Scripture, more so than just the obedience element. Keep in mind that the Bible is God's communication to you and I. People are like, I want to hear the voice of God. I want to hear the voice of God. Well, it's right there in Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. Pick it up and read it. Well, no, I want to have lightning behind me and Skittles. And he already provided that for you. I mean, I've said it before, I'll say it again. If a Martian came to Washington and said, here, read this book, this will help you understand how the universe works, people would be scampering to get that book. Well, the creator of all the universe did that. But he didn't use a spaceship to do it. He just, you know, he became one of us. He's written because writing is the one form of communication that has always been and will always be. In that context, that's why the Word of God will endure forever. And the idea here is that we have access to that. And so I encourage you to explore things like that. Look up what Al was just talking about. Check that out. Go to Jonah chapter 1. Go to Jonah chapter 2. See if you can see where that comes from. That's fun stuff. You think, well, I never spend time in the Word. That would be spending time in the Word. That would be it. If you think that when you spend time in the Word, you got to just hear this monotone sound behind you. It's like, what? It can be fun, right? It's like, I know you're thinking I'm crazy, which is not far off. But my point in telling you all that is for you to understand the depth that you can get into and enjoy it. It doesn't have to be super duper perfectly structured, and it doesn't have to be from this teacher or this Bible study. Guess what you have? The Holy Spirit, the best teacher of all. Pick up the book and read it and let the Holy Spirit teach you. You discover so many wonderful treasures in the Word of God. I know it's hard to work it into the schedule. I get it. But to devote yourself to it, to make that a part of your life, to make that a priority, it's the same thing you're doing when you say, I'm going to take this first few minutes, Lord, and give it to you. Set my day up the way you see fit. That's a great thing to do. The Lord loves that because you're spending time with him, and he loves spending time with you. You know, you're one of his favorites, or he wouldn't take you into eternity with him, would he? Just think about that. That's like, yeah, I'm not spending eternity with somebody I don't like. That seems like hell. That's just what I'm saying. All right, we're going to break out here, and we'll do the other teachings the rest of the week. We've got plenty of time. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.